You're listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. Today we will be speaking with Joseph Lehman, Secretary of the Department of Corrections in Washington State, about the need to understand the culture in correctional facilities. Lehman was appointed Secretary of the Washington State Department of Corrections in 1997. Prior to this appointment, he served for 2 years as Commissioner of the Maine Department of Corrections and 5 years as Commissioner of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. Prior to moving to Pennsylvania, Secretary Lehman served over 21 years in the Washington State Department of Corrections, including 1 year as Deputy Secretary and 3 years as Director of the Division of Prisons. Lehman has also received several honors for his work in the field, including the E.R. Cass Award from the American Correctional Association in 2001. Welcome to today's live talk, Secretary Lehman.
Thank you, Michelle. Happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. Today, as I just told our audience, we're going to talk about culture in corrections and changes that might need to be made in correctional culture. I was hoping to talk a little bit about what you've learned about correctional culture in your years of service, and maybe talk about, is there a general culture that's maybe pervasive to corrections?
Well, actually, this is an intriguing subject and a relatively new one for us folks in corrections. And probably not a surprise because it's really only been of, considerable interest in the business community for about 20 years.
Mm.
If you look at what we've looked at in terms of this notion of culture within prisons, is that historically we've actually just kind of said, well, there's an inmate subculture and there's the formal culture of the institution. And I think what we're now being confronted with is this notion that, no, it isn't that simple, that there's actually, in that formal culture that we talk about, there's actually an informal culture. And that means that probably the discussion that's going on in many of the institutions is we've got to let go of some of our simplified notions about how to manage prisons. Because what we do know is we operate on the basis of a paramilitary organization, top-down controls. Our management perspective is basically we govern by policy. We manage by policy. We basically tell people what they should do in the form of policies and procedures and post orders, and then we react when they don't.
Mm.
So in many instances, what we do know about what happens in institutional environments is we look at outliers in prisons in terms of staff behavior. We look at the best performance of staff and the worst performance of staff. And we probably don't know a whole lot about what's happening in that middle in terms of the informal culture. So the message to wardens and superintendents and corrections now is, gee, folks, there's a underlying informal culture that may in fact be supporting what you do, but may in fact be contrary or inconsistent with what you're trying to do in leading your prison or your agency, and that you need to not only be aware of it, but you need to shape it. So that's the challenge that you're hearing today, and that means a whole lot of different things to folks that run prisons, and it's kind of new stuff. So it's kind of for many of us, it's an awakening.
Now, are there things that talking just about wardens being aware of an informal culture, but are there things or signs that would make an agency assess its institutional culture? Would it be an event that takes place or a lawsuit that's filed or something like that? And one of the more recent sort of in the news kind of topics related to this is the recent report that came out, I think it was yesterday, about NASA and the shuttle crash and how their institutional culture had something to do with the way things turned out. And so I'm just wondering if that sort of is the same in corrections.
Well, yeah, actually, that's an excellent point, Michelle, and it's a very interesting one because the reports that about NASA is about, gee, there was some cultural, informal culture in the sense of of dealing with the resource constraints and the challenges associated with that agency. And that, unfortunately, it suggested impacted the ability to provide for the appropriate level of safety. If you look at your question is about, well, so why are we now paying attention to this?
Mm-hmm.
It probably is because of the very things that you're talking about. So that what has gotten our attention is some long-standing, serious, intractable problems. I heard one warden, for example, say, you know, an issue of sexual harassment or sexual misconduct within a women's facility. He said, you know, I became aware of it and I did what I normally do. I did policies, I did training, but there was just something there I couldn't get it done. It didn't make a difference.
Mm.
So it is those generally long-standing, serious, intractable problems. Maybe it's the level of inmate violence. Maybe it's the unusual levels of use of force within the context of, in terms of the staff behavior and how they respond to offenders locked up. Maybe it's grievances and indicating persistent problems in terms of sexual misconduct or harassment or racial discrimination. It's interesting because those are those things, Michelle, that are generally precipitating the question today about what is the informal culture.
Sure.
And how does it impact, or negatively, particularly negatively, impact the warden's ability to lead the organization where he or she would like to go?
Sure. And it doesn't have to be, though, an incident or an event or something like that that could cause a department or an agency or even a facility to take a good long look at their institutional culture, though.
But you were going to the real point of the discussion.
Yeah.
And the real point of the discussion is that it isn't simply about those egregious events that occur that get your attention. It's about what responsibility do you have as a warden to, in fact, proactively influence and shape that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is that in order to do that, you got to be aware of it.
Right.
In order to be aware of it, you got to be able to assess it and figure out what it is.
Yeah.
We're pretty good in prisons about saying, gee, this is what the post order says, and
mm-hmm.
this is what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty good about posting, value statements on the wall in terms of what we stand for. And we're pretty good about the formal kinds of ceremonies and reward systems. And everybody understands that, and everybody misinterprets the reality that's what's driving the organization, when in fact there's an underlying informal culture similar to the issues you raised in NASA that basically says, what are the unspoken rules?
Mm.
How do we really get things done around here? What are the cliques or subgroups within your staff culture that distribute power and control communications? What are the enacted values, those values that are really sent as messages by virtue of staff behavior as opposed to what the agency says it stands for? And what are the what are the attitudes of staff, the stories they tell? What are the legends of the institutions in terms of what happened?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think everybody understands this when you say to them, gee, the classic example between the disconnect between the formal culture and the informal culture is you send a whole bunch of correctional officers to academy, to basic academy, and they go and they get trained, and get trained based on what the formal culture says they should do and how they should behave. And they get back to the cell blocks, and what happens? In some senses, those people get back to the cell blocks, and people tell them, well, forget that. That's not really how we get it. That's not how we do it here.
Mm.
So we are now aware there's a subsystem of beliefs and values that can be embedded in that informal culture that are contrary and inconsistent with what you want to happen. If you are going to be a superintendent, you have to be mindful of shaping both those cultures, or you will be the superintendent of a default culture.
I see. If you are just joining us, we are talking to Joe Lehman, Secretary of the Washington State Department of Corrections, about understanding and changing facility culture. I want to continue a little bit and ask you about your experiences in the Washington State Department of Corrections about assessing culture. What processes has the Washington Department of Corrections gone through, and were there specific instances that maybe prompted a look at this?
Yeah, actually, there were. I mean, we were new to this, this notion of institutional culture in a sense. And we were, we've had some facilities, one facility in particular that we were concerned about, because there seemed to be some long-standing problems in terms of cliques and staff conflicts within the context of the institution, which ultimately also got raised around the whole issue of racial discrimination.
Mm.
Not unlike many of the facilities in corrections, this is a facility that was located in a very, outlying area, rural area, and did not have, a balance in terms of the diversity of the staff within the facility. And there were some allegations. So we actually thought, well, this is an instance where we could benefit from a consultant, because there seemed to be sufficient pain experienced in the facility in terms of the conflict, and it was a long-standing nature. So we got a consultant to come in and take a look at the issue. One of the things that I've learned over the years in terms of corrected my own perception as a result of this. I always used to think that, when I took over a new job, mm-hmm. Michelle,
mm-hmm.
I didn't own the problems of the past people. I came to solve the problems and everybody would recognize that and we'd go forward. That doesn't happen. There are some long-standing wounds within any organization by virtue of prior conflicts that live on and take their own life in existence. So we were confronted with that in that one institution. So we did benefit significantly from that assessment process, assessing of what was driving the conflict, what seemed to be the problem, in developing action plans to resolve that. We have two other institutions. So we're actually having three institutions that have, two of which have had assessments. But much of the other assessments have come around the issue of the disconnect between the formal and informal as a result of mission changes,
mm-hmm.
or what in the language is referred to as mission diffusion, where you have a co-correctional facility with males and females that historically has been males, for example. All of a sudden, you put a female population in part of it, how do you adjust the informal culture to, in fact, proactively adjust it
right.
to address that issue? Go ahead.
Oh, so that's kind of a, you can't miss that one,
no.
in a way.
No, if you initially miss it, you'll catch up.
You'll find out.
Absolutely. So we've looked at it, and when you take an institution from a lower custody level to a higher custody level, you not only change the policies and the formal stuff, but what are you going to do about the informal stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I think this conversation is very healthy for corrections today.
That's a good point. I want to go back to something you mentioned because it kind of triggered something for me. You were talking about when you change jobs that you own, the mistakes or the things of the past. Is the idea of new leadership at a facility level, is that a trigger for maybe a need for a cultural change? If you're a new warden, does that mean that something's going on?
Well, I think many there are many reasons why you change leadership, but I know that there are a lot of wardens out there today who have been assigned to their job because somebody decided that the institution they were assigned to needed new leadership.
Mm-hmm.
From my perspective, that is an excellent opportunity for a superintendent with the assistance of a consultant or even to a certain extent on their own to look at the issue of that informal culture and to assess it and to redefine and re-influence and shape that culture around their new vision. And strategic planning, if you involve staff and not simply, you know, put the strategic plan on the shelf and leave it there, you know,
sure.
which is a dilemma. But if you create a strategic plan that involves people with assessing their own culture and involving them in how they change that culture, then you are, in fact, shaping the culture of the institution.
Sure, you're involving the staff, and it might make it all that more easy.
Yes.
To do. Are there ways that you might suggest or that you've learned that agencies can kind of monitor what the culture might be in their facilities? And while I'm on that topic of agencies, is this something that maybe could be done agency-wide, or really is it more, do you tackle it facility by facility?
I think it should be a combination of both. I think most of the focus, though, Michelle, has been on the institution level and the prison level.
Mm-hmm.
And understandably, because within the context of that prison, it's the difference between how staff are behaving in many instances and how you would like them to behave.
Sure.
But I think agencies have to own the bigger problem, and they can own it in many ways. They can, in fact, facilitate the process of getting assessments done and consultants in. They can teach about culture. We actually have a section in our basic academy for correctional officers about institutional culture.
Hmm.
So we teach them about it. One of the things we attend to is when we do training is what is the performance expectation and the performance outcomes or measures that you would engage in that drill back to the issue of the cultural, the beliefs of the informal culture. But there are things that you can do. If you were a warden, you can do simple things, and we do it. We do it very well. We walk and we talk to people.
Sure.
So when you walk and talk to people, ask them the questions about, well, how's it really done here? Or better yet, I like the instance because of that analogy or that example I gave about the basic recruit training and the cell block. Go talk to your new hires. Ask them, what is the difference between what you're hearing in terms of what to do on the job and what you learned?
Sure.
What is the gap there? And why do you suppose that is? One of the assessment issues that you look at in terms of is what is paid attention to in your culture, in your institution, and what gets overlooked. I tell superintendents a classic example. Look at your calendar. What are you doing, and what isn't on your calendar that should be there? So it is almost trying to get people to recognize that there's this underlying force within the context of their culture that is informal, that they need to develop a capacity to simply observe, to ask questions, to learn what it is before the crisis occurs.
Well, that sounds like great advice. That concludes today's live talk. Thank you to Joe Lehman of the Washington State Department of Corrections for joining us today. We're very happy to have you.
Thank you.
And to learn more on culture and corrections, be sure to read this week's feature story and profile on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN. Your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.